Previously on Documenta and Son.
And, you know, she's Chilean. You know, I have, you know, a lot of deep personal history with Chile as well.
You stan Chile.
No. My relationship with Chile is much deeper and more interesting than stanning. Hello and welcome to Documenta and Son. Being the adventures of a dad who's gay and a son who is figuring shit out. My name is Documenta Barbarism. More of gravy than of grave.
And I'm Dingle Mary. Have a private sewer in your pants.
My favorite series of all time.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah, definitely, for sure.
I'm talking about your series of opening of toilet-based 30 Rock opening jokes.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, Dingle Mary.
Happy New Year, you.
Do you think 2022 is going to be any better than 2021?
Nope, me neither. I've just stopped hoping.
Yeah, seriously.
I've just stopped putting effort into caring.
Do you remember about probably like fall of 2020 when we were like, okay, we just got to get through this fall and this winter by next summer? Summer 2021, it will be fine, and things will be back to normal. Life will be okay again.
That was funny of us.
Let's sigh. Oh well, all we can do is carry on, keep moving forward. Hopefully, between when we're recording this and when it comes out, we won't have caught COVID. We won't have caught Omicron. You are more at risk because you're the one that's going to be traveling. But hopefully everyone out there is safe and well and had as close to a good and normal holiday as possible.
Yeah.
We want nothing but the best for you, beautiful, sexy, smart listeners. We're excited. We've got so much more House of Barbarism coming all year long. There's going to be some new podcasts in the work to join the family. Some exciting new guests. Oh, yes, honey. We're going to actually do some marketing this year. Oh, yes, honey. You know it. So be sure to stay tuned. Now, Dingle Mary, I heard you say something about making someone gay blush.
Yes. So a couple of days ago, I went to school with my heels off.
Oh, good job. Well done. All right, moving on.
Yeah, seriously, that's the end of the story.
Yeah, so these were the heels, not the first pair I gave you, not the Mary Janes.
These were the new ones that kind of look like Converse sneakers. Yeah. That's the term I've come to describe them with.
Yeah, they're like Converse sneakers with tire tread.
Yeah, exactly. I felt fucking fabulous the whole day, but during lunch, in the group, we do this funny joke where we lean our arms on each other's shoulders, either to flex the fact that we're half an inch taller than them or to pretend that we're taller than them. But because I actually was the tallest person, I did it to one of the kids in the group, and then I looked down and said, "Hey." And it came out sexier than I meant for it, too. And then he, like, literally backed away and was like, "Oh my god, you're making me gay blush." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, sex imminent. Woo!"
And then you just had sex right there on the gym floor.
Yeah, no time like the present.
Dingle Mary is no longer welcome back at his high school.
Nope.
Wasn't it? It wasn't gay blush, though, was it? It was gay flustered.
Gay flustered. That's what he said.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, "You made me gay flustered."
Yeah.
That's exciting. I can tell you're my son because we can only be sexy by accident. If we're trying to, it doesn't tend to work out quite as well.
No.
But great. That's awesome. Good for you. Did you get a little flustered when he said that you made him gay flustered?
A little bit.
Oh, that's adorable. Yes. Good job. All right, well, should we do a little first gay trivia of the new year?
Sure.
It's your turn to ask me, I believe.
Yes.
And we are on, oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
We got some pee stuff coming up. Oh, yes, bitch, yo. Yes. Okay, we're on.
Is there a water sports dedicated section?
No, maybe a question or two, it looks like. So here, there's the answers, and we are on that question right
59.
There.
59?
Yes.
at the Mine Shaft, the most notoriously decadent gay club in New York, a gay man will not be admitted if he A. wears cologne, B. wears a striped shirt, C. wears designer clothes, or D. all of the above.
I'm going to say all of the above.
Correct. If you want to get in, don't wear either of any of those.
Yeah, because that was, it was like a BDSM club. A lot, I'm sure, like a lot of leather scene. I'm trying to think if that was in the movie Cruising. I don't know if it was for sure, so I'm not going to say. But yeah, it's one of the like legendary. So what were the three things again? Designer clothes, cologne, and...
striped shirt.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a there's a leather club in Manhattan still.
Oh, really?
Called the Eagle that I'm really excited to visit and try out.
Can I come along?
Yes, in...
in a few years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've never really been particularly interested in leather, but I think it might be fun to maybe dress up a little and check out that scene. Yeah, that's it. That's okay. I got nothing else to say about that. Yay. Okay, go cool. Leather.
Go. You're going to be the new spokesperson for the leather industry.
Yeah. PETA's going to love me.
True or false, downstairs at the mine shaft, one of the star attractions is a tub in which people can lie down and be urinated on.
Oh, I'm going to say true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Oh, okay, no. We're good. I looked at the wrong true or false answer in the answer section, but it's still true. You're still
okay.
Good.
Okay, good. Phew.
The slang term for the above is called A, golden rain, B, golden, or sorry, yellow rain, B, golden
yellow rain. You're probably too young for chocolate rain, no. Huh? That's like an old, like, meme, like viral video, back when they were still calling them viral videos.
Wow.
Which I don't think anyone really uses anymore, huh?
No, we still say that memes go viral or something.
Yeah,
viral,
but no, you never hear the term of viral video. No. Yeah. Yellow rain. Continue.
Okay, I'm just going to start over. A, yellow rain. B, golden showers. C, water sports. Or D, B and C, but not A.
I was going to say B and C.
Yeah, it's D. At the Pines in Fire Island, there is a section of open sand dunes just off the beach where gay men can go at any time of the day or night to have sex. This section is known as A, Fairy's Forest, B, MacArthur's Park, C, Stretch Beach, or D, the Meat Rack.
Oh, let's say Fairy's Forest.
Nope, it's a D, the Meat Rack.
Whoa, that's hot. Yeah. I wonder if it's still called that.
Probably not officially. True or false? The fastest way of getting to the Pines on Fire Island is by car.
False. It's probably by ferry.
Correct. Good job.
I mostly only know that because Bess was telling us that she got out there by ferry.
Oh. Well, yeah, it even says here, the fastest or the only way to get to the Pines is by ferry, private boat, or seaplane.
Oh, interesting. So there's no road out there.
Hmm.
Huh. Okay. Good to know, since I'll definitely be going to Fire Island soon.
Yeah, True or false, one of Fire Island's major attractions is its inexpensive accommodations. Summer house rentals and motel accommodations are reasonable and accessible to gays living in and around New York.
I'm going to say it's probably true in 1985.
False.
Oh, it was false even then, too, huh?
Yeah, on the contrary, Fire Island, especially the Pines, is for some prohibitively expensive.
Prohibitively.
Thank you. Particularly the summer house rentals, which can run up to $18,000 per season, though the average is $3,000 to $5,000.
Jesus.
This is in the answers. It is definitely a resort community for the upscale gay.
Oh my lord. These faggots. That's interesting, though. Okay, I guess that makes sense. That's why you only ever see the beautiful ones.
Yeah.
Because the beautiful ones are the rich ones, because the rich can afford to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not bitter at all.
Body image issues.
No, me?
Okay. Rita Mae Brown, best known for her books Ruby Fruit Jungle and the recent Sudden Death, had a real-life love affair with a famous woman tennis star. Her name is A, Tracy Austin, B, Billie Jean King, C, Martina Navratilova. I butchered that.
No, that was very good.
Really?
Very good. Yep.
Let's go. Or D, none of the above.
Billie Jean?
It's the person whose name I pronounced.
Martina?
Yes.
Oh.
The name I pronounced correctly the first time, and I'm not attempting again.
She was still huge, like, in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Gays who solicit or engage in sex in public restrooms call these places A, John Johns.
What places?
I think public restrooms.
Did you skip? Oh, they call the public restrooms. Got yes. it. Okay.
A, John Johns. B, tea rooms. C, throat lounges. Or D.
Throat lounges.
Or D, all of the above.
Tea room. B. Is it D?
No, it's P. It's B. Tea rooms.
Yeah.
I wish it was D.
There's actually there was this film, this undercover film taken of one of those in Cleveland or somewhere in Ohio in the 60s that was used, like, cops were trapping gays. They had a camera hidden behind one of the mirrors, and they were trapping men, basically, like, filming them and then arresting them as they came out and then using the film as evidence. An artist has turned that film into an art piece called Tea Room.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it didn't have a name originally because it was literally like police footage.
Wow.
That's fucked up.
That's wacky. Ugh. Ugh.
Yep.
Cock rings are metal, leather, or rubber rings worn by gays during sex. The reason they are worn is A, to maintain an erection by closing off the flow of blood into the penis.
Yes, that's one of them.
B, to enlarge the appearance of the testicles, which is often considered quite sexy. C, to give the male a more butch look. Or D, all of the above.
Oh, I think it's just A.
Wait, hold on, I lost. It's D, all of the above.
Wow, okay, I did not know giant testicles are sexy. Good to know. And what was C?
To give the male a more butch look.
Interesting.
The answer to this one actually disappoints me because it's right below the answer to the previous one. So I initially thought that it was all of the above for the previous question about public restrooms. And then got disappointed.
My tattoo guy was wearing one.
Really?
Sadly, I didn't get to see it, but he told me about it. We were talking about it. Cock rings came up. He just wears one like all the time.
Must be great to be gay.
It is. It's the fucking best.
Cock rings come in a variety of styles and designs. Most of which...
So glad Dingle Mommy does not listen to this podcast. But this is useful, real, good information.
Yeah, seriously.
And there's no transphobia in the meantime.
Not currently. It's
transphobia free so far today.
Most of which either look like metal rings or small leather dog collars.
Start again. I heard nothing after cock rings.
Okay. I mean, cock rings come in a variety of styles and designs, most of which either look like metal rings or small leather dog collars. But many have an additional feature, which is used to spread the testicles apart. This is called A.
Ball spreader.
A nutcracker. B. Ball spreader. C. Nut clamp. Or D, none of the above.
I mean, I don't know. I'm so innocent and virginal. I have no idea.
For the record, I didn't know.
Good. I'm glad. Actually, why would I be glad? Now you know.
Yeah.
It was ball spreader, right?
Yeah.
And I got to point out that this is not the first time I've heard about cock rings today.
Wait, you have to tell me the...
So Janet Jackson recently did a video for Allure magazine talking about... just fashion from some of her most famous videos.
Yes,
and in one of them, she says, I hope I'm not being crass, but those are all cock rings. Like, this one one of the outfits literally has dozens of rings on it. She's like, you know, cock rings. And it seemed like her cute little, like, Janet Jackson voice. She's the fucking best. I love her so much.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. There's also one part where she says, she's talking about the makeup guy, and she says he put cocks in her, no, like black, I can't remember if she says black cocks or just cocks. She meant to say cock feathers, which is a thing she said before. I mean, I think she just means chicken feathers, but she's like, I'm not being gross. That's the name of the bird. I think she just wanted a chance to say cocks.
That's hilarious. So that's the 10th question, but there are two more questions in the section. Should we just finish it?
Yeah, let's finish the section off.
Okay. Question 69.
I'm very glad that you got that question.
True or false? In most gay movie theaters in metropolitan areas...
Metropolitan.
Thank you. It is considered inappropriate to have sex while the movie is going on, and management usually encourages patrons interested in such encounters to leave.
That's false.
Yeah, in most big cities, having sex, especially mutual masturbation and oral sex, while the movie is playing, is expected.
Yeah, that's like the whole point. That would be... Yeah, that would not be very poggers of them to make people leave for doing that. Don't you agree that that would be very unpoggers?
I'm considering just ending this whole section right now, honestly.
Why? Don't be so cringe. You got a problem? Why are you acting all sus? You got a problem with my vocab?
You know what? He's taking it, he's appropriating it, and he's making it his own. Honestly, we salute.
Yeah, that's pretty unsus if you ask me.
Yeah.
Come on, you're not really, you're not yes ending here very well. I'm giving you like golden material.
I know, but it pains me.
Whatever, continue.
No, here, I'll no butt you.
Not yes end, you'll no butt?
Yes.
Fine. Speaking of sus.
What was the name of the young man who filed the $200 million plus palimony suit against Liberace, claiming that he had provided sexual favors to the singer? A. Scott Thorngood, B. Scott Thornson, C. Scott Thorson, or D. Scott Thompson?
I think it's C.
Which, Scott Thorson?
Yeah.
Good job.
Only because that, I assume, is the Matt Damon role in the movie Behind the Candelabra.
That's funny.
The Steven Soderbergh movie with Michael Douglas in him about Liberace and Scott.
That's awesome. The suit was later dismissed.
Have you ever heard that term before, palimony?
No.
It's not like a real legal term, I think, but it was like, it was, so it was for in cases of non-marriage, but like between, like platonic or like gay couples or something.
Interesting.
I think, if I'm remembering it correctly.
The more you know.
That was a super poggers round, if I do say so myself.
Absolutely poggers. NGL.
NGL, there was no cringe to be found. IRL.
If there is cringe, I was going to quit this book. SMH my head.
Yes! Topical and modern.
It feels good to actually feel us losing listeners.
Oh, well, you have to have listeners to lose them.
That's true.
Should we take a break?
Let's.
Cock rings.
Cock rings. God damn it.
If you live in the greater New York area or have a good microphone and would like to share your story on Closet Practice, anonymously or not, message me on Twitter at DocumentaB, on Instagram at DocumentaBarbarism, online at DocumentaBarbarism.com, or by email to buttstuff@DocumentaBarbarism.com, with only one A in barbarism. That's DocumentaBarbarism. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to House of Barbarism on your pod thingy of choice so you don't miss a single episode of Adventures in Gaybysitting and Closet Practice every Monday, and Documenta and Son every Thursday.
Welcome back, little monsters.
I tried to do like a Dracula laugh or something.
Why?
Because you said little monsters.
Isn't that Gaga fans? Isn't that what they're called?
Oh, really?
I think so.
All I know is that Nicki Minaj fans are called Barbs.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
And we know that Mariah Carey fans are not called Butterflies. From the simultaneously best and worst episode of Drag Race ever, in which six people had to lip sync for their life. Classic.
Was so bad.
Well, you may have heard, if you've been paying attention, if you've been listening, then you know that Dingleberry is a gamer. G-A-Y hyphen mer. And yet, we haven't talked about video games once.
Honestly, I'm just annoyed personally at myself that it took us this long to get to this point.
Yeah, and we only did it because I sat there and thought, well, Dingleberry is a gamer. G-A-Y hyphen Mer, and yet we haven't talked about video games, so I actually went searching.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know of any or many or any. So we today are talking about...
Dream Daddy.
Dream... Wait, actually, I was... What, how does the melody actually go?
That's what I was
Dream
thinking.
Daddy.
It's yeah, something like that. Something like that.
It's not like that at all.
Well, okay, that's the form. It's a rise, hold, lower for the daddy. That's all I remember.
Yeah. It's Dream Daddy, the Dad Rector's Cut.
The Dad Rector's Cut, yes, is the version we played. Yeah.
This is a game from 2017. It's available across platforms. Mm-hmm. We played the Switch version.
Yes.
There was a mobile version. Apparently, it's like $15 regardless. A lot of people were bitching about that on the App Store, I noticed. No one likes to pay for anything on the App Store. But why don't you tell us a little bit about Dream Daddy? First of all, why was it the Dad Rector's Cut? Do you remember?
I think it had more mini games, more like texts, like more content in some form. But it was also the only version they ported to the Switch, I think.
So tell us about Dream Daddy.
It's a dating simulator made by Game Grumps, which I thought was just a gaming YouTube channel, but apparently it's, I don't know.
I think it is primarily, but it's one of those that gets really successful and becomes a minor media, like a media company, you know, branch out.
In any case.
But it's not, I don't think it's like a queer channel in any, from what I can tell, it doesn't seem to be.
I don't know if it's like the three Game Grumps videos I've seen in my life, they didn't like flout their gayness if they are gay. But also I watched them before they got replaced. Because like the two people who used to do Game Grumps like left and then they replaced them.
So Game Grumps seems to be like, is really like a company. Like
yeah,
a
it's thing. Like, yeah, it's now grown to become like...
It's not just the two dudes on YouTube anymore.
Yeah, not anymore, I guess.
Okay, continue.
It opens up on a character creation screen, so you get to, like, create your character and who you play, but it mostly focuses on your relationships with seven other dads.
Uh-huh.
You just moved across town, I guess. I don't know where they're moving to, but, or where they're moving from.
Yeah, it seems like they, because the daughter keeps going to the same school.
Yeah.
It's just like you're in a new part of... The town is called Maple Bay.
Yeah.
It's not in a specific state. It's not anywhere specific.
No. And you meet seven other dads.
Who all live in the same cul-de-sac.
Who all live in the same cul-de-sac, which is hilarious. You just sort of meet them on just this kind of random adventure you have on the first day, just by happenstance. And then you get to meet them all more in person at a barbecue held by Joseph, the youth minister, who... is married to Mary and has four kids whose names are all variations on Chris.
That's right, on Christ.
On Christ.
Yeah, like Christ.
Basically, it's you get to choose who of the seven dads you want to go on a date on, and then...
But you can date any of them, right?
And you can date any of them. And then there will be, like, little mini things in between dates, but you sort of just go through a series of three dates with as many of the dads as you want.
And we should point out that, like, the daddy part of it, it's a double meaning. It's daddy in the daddy sense. But then also the fatherhood part of it is just as important to the story. You spend as much time dealing with your daughter, helping her through, who's named Amanda,
mm-hmm.
helping her through her, she's a senior in high school applying for college. And at least half of the time is spent just, you know, talking to her. You didn't mention, right, that it's your partner, your husband has just died.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if just died, but your husband is dead.
Yes.
It never specifies why you've moved across town.
Mm-mm. I think, like, at the beginning, they say it like, this place has too many memories or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And it never says what you do. You seem to not have a job.
No, you're apparently just a... You seem to be a leech on Amanda, honestly.
Or just independently wealthy.
Yeah.
It's because you just wake up anytime and you just spend the day doing whatever.
Yeah, trying to get in one of the dad's beds, you know.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, so and you can date them. And they're all dads, mm-hmm. too. They all have children, mostly daughters. Some have sons as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are gay.
Like, explicitly.
Explicitly. Some of them are not. Some of them are bi... We haven't dated.
We haven't completed all three dates with all three characters. All seven characters.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Thank you. Great explanation.
Thank you.
The seven daddies are Craig, who is Asian American, unspecified. And you have to glean it pretty much from character design. They keep things pretty nonspecific. Who is actually your old roommate from college.
Yeah.
Apparently you were roommates the entire 4 years, which seems crazy. He's got a pair of twins and a baby.
Who you can often find in a baby Bjorn.
Yeah, he's always wearing her on his baby Bjorn, yeah.
And she's cute.
Yeah, she's adorable. She's often like got spit bubbles.
Yeah, and she smiles at you. So cute.
There's Matt, who is black, possibly Afro-Latino. His daughter's name is Carmencita. But they spell Sita with an S, so I don't really know what's going on there. Again, sort of non-specific, but probably Afro-Latino, and he's the owner of the local coffee shop.
Yes, called the Coffee Spoon.
Right, and he's like the first one you meet. One of the first ones you meet.
Yeah.
Then there's Brian, who is a ginger. He's the only fat one. But he's like that hot fat that they do in video games and stuff, you know, that's like that no fat person actually looks like. You know, they're basically just like hot, ripped dudes, but with a fat tummy, you know?
Yeah.
And he's got a daughter who the first mini game, was it the first one for you where you do like a brag off?
Yeah. In a Pokemon battle style. Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't go back and replay that, which makes me sad.
You can do the mini games and you can access
You can play all the mini games, but unfortunately that doesn't classify as one, I guess, for that.
And I don't know if the other games. I didn't realize there were other mini games because I never got any other ones.
Wait, really?
Yeah, until I saw that there was the option there in the menu. You can go through and play them, but you got more, right?
Yeah, I got like 4 mini games.
I think our experiences of this game were wildly different. That's which wacky. We will find out. Yeah. And then there's Robert, who is ethnically ambiguous. He's dark. And mysterious.
Yes.
like dark, when I say dark, I mean like his aura, like, and he's, yeah.
Yeah, in one of the, like, mini scenes that you do, he whips out a flip phone.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then.
At the poker night.
Oh, yeah, you got poker night?
Yeah.
Okay. And Joseph, one of the other daddies, says, what are you, a drug dealer? And he's like, yeah, what do you want?
And then he carries the bit on for a while.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm just kidding. Or am I? But I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. And then everyone nods. They're like, we feel that.
Yeah. Which is funny. It sort of flirts with edge every once in a while, but it's overall pretty wholesome.
Yeah.
Like, it never really goes that far. It's only, it's T, right? Rated T, I think. There is, Robert has a son who's kind of goth, remember? No, that's Damien's son. Robert maybe didn't have kids. I don't think Robert did.
Maybe
but
if we...
Robert is also friends with Mary, with Joseph's the youth with minister's wife. Which is weird. I kind of want to play again to follow that storyline, see where that goes.
I want to fully date both of those people to see what's up.
Yeah. And Damien is a vampire. I mean, he's not, but he's got that vampire like they're clearly. This game is clearly made with gamers in mind.
Yeah, he's extremely pale.
He's got a Victorian aesthetic.
Yeah, he loves true gothic stuff. Like his house is like a goth castle.
Oh, you've been to his house?
Yeah, on his first date, you go to his house.
Oh.
And you go in his backyard and he has like a really beautiful garden, and then you knock over a gargoyle and the mini games you have to fix it.
Oh, that's funny. And you meet, well, I met him at least in a store that sounded like Hot Topic at the mall.
Yes, called Dead Goth and Beyond.
Right. Good Lord. And then there's Hugo, who I think is Latinx. Mm. Again, not very specific, but that he's Amanda's teacher at school. They have a little issue at school or something, or she just gets weird around him, like,
yeah,
she's her teacher.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't fully explore that because I made some dumb mistakes in text and like... choices, I think. If I spent more time, I'd probably learn all about that. But she's like, has like extreme senioritis.
Yeah, yeah, totally. She's having some issues at school, also related probably to the death of her dad and stuff. And she's waiting to get accepted into art school, blah, blah, blah. And then the last one is Joseph, who is the youth pastor. He's blonde and got the creepy kids, creepy blonde children of the corn.
Yes.
And a wife who is apparently, like, cheating on him or something.
Yeah, and she's, like, even though she still does go to church, she's, like, drinking and smoking weed and shit.
So those are the seven guys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it forces you into interactions with them. Well, it doesn't force you, but you get, like, invited to, like, a barbecue or...
Or poker night.
A tea party with some of the daughters are throwing.
Craig's daughters at one point throw a tea party. And you get to choose what kind of princess you were, but it means nothing.
Yeah. I actually met the twins in the tea party before meeting them in the storyline.
That's fun. Yes. No, I did too.
So there's a lot of story mechanics that were kind of wonky.
Yeah.
In this, which it's an indie game, you know, made by like a few people. So I'm not surprised. Like, I wouldn't expect perfection. But, and then the way that you connect with them all is through a social media platform called Dadbook, which you can just choose them to message. Sometimes they message you, and that's it. That's how you play the game.
Yeah.
It's mostly just a lot of reading.
Yeah.
And then really you make some choices. They don't always matter. In fact, they usually don't. Sometimes they're just silly. There's lots of dad jokes.
So many dad jokes.
Yeah.
But they're like good dad jokes. In most cases, they're good yeah, dad kinda. Jokes.
Everyone kind of has the same humor. Like, you can tell this was created by a small team because everyone kind of talks the same. You know, we're not going for realism here.
No.
Which is good because it's a video game. I don't need realism in a video game. But it's about the interactions and the different dads.
You just made, like, half of all gamers shudder.
Why?
When you said that you don't need realism in video games.
Oh, is that a thing people prize?
Yeah, like, they want their graphics to look as real as possible and all the...
I mean, that makes sense. That's what we expect. This is what when we were talking about Speed Racer.
Yeah. Like,
we see Speed Racer shows us what we could accomplish with computer graphics, but no, everyone for some reason just wants to make it look more like the real world. But I digress. So tell us about your experience then, about your character design, your name, and then just briefly about your dates and who you dated and stuff.
Okay. So I went for like a shirt and suit kind of look. Blonde hair with like curls. I had glasses on my character. And because I'm not smart or creative, I named it after myself.
Ow! I flicked him. That's what I do whenever he does negative self-talk. I inflict bodily harm. Continue, idiot.
So, I went on one date with all of the characters just to sort of see.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
I eventually decided to go with Hugo.
The teacher.
So, I did his last two dates just in a row.
He had hot hair.
He has very hot hair. On his second date... Okay, I'll tell you about the first date.
Yeah.
On the first date... He needs help chaperoning students at a field trip to an aquarium. So you go and help him, and then you can sort of like help a girl. You don't help a girl. You get her to take the octopus out of her backpack.
What, she's trying to steal one?
Or some sea creature from the touch pool. And that's basically the whole premise of the first date.
We should also mention that as you're interacting with them, if you say the wrong thing... Which is not always easy to know what is the right or wrong thing. No. It usually only gives you like three options. If you say the wrong thing, then these like black
dots,
soot sprites like come out of them and they go, oh.
Yeah.
But if you say the right thing,
yeah.
then hearts come out from behind them. And there's like an angel noise.
Mm-hmm. And depending on how much they agree with you, you can just get like some hearts, or you get hearts and confetti. Or if you do like really well, you get hearts, confetti, sweat emoji, and eggplant.
Yeah, that's how you know you've done good.
Yeah.
So that was the date? Was it like once you left the aquarium, did you get to spend time together, or was that the whole date?
That was basically the whole date, but he said like, this was fun, we should do it again. Well, we shouldn't ask you to chaperone again, but we should hang out again.
Okay. Yeah, I think they build in intensity on purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the second date like?
On the second date, you go to a bar, I think, and you do trivia night. No, the main reason you go is because they're doing a charcuterie board, and you want that cheese.
Wait, are you thinking about the art gallery? Did you go to the art gallery?
No, I did go to the art gallery, but I did that like immediately after the second date, and I was like, okay, game.
Okay, let's wine and cheese again.
Again. No, yeah, but that's literally why you go, is you go for a cheese board and wine. But trivia night happens to be happening at the same time, and you and Hugo sort of like talk about doing it, but then you notice that Matt and Brian are also here.
Uh-huh. And during the date?
During the date.
Okay.
And you have a very competitive relationship with Brian.
Right. Wait, Brian is the the ginger.
Yes. Who's,
you had the brag off with your kid.
Yes.
Yeah, the fatty.
Yes, you get very competitive with them. So when you realize they're in the trivia competition, you have to join. And you go to his home, and then his son is a dick to you. He's like a dick to everyone. He seems to be having like issues because
what's happened to was Hugo married or did it
Hugo
say?
Was married. I think they're divorced, and the kid likes the other dad more.
So he was married to a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he shows you his secret wrestling room after you prod him about wrestling. And that's mostly it. He just professes his love of wrestling.
Do you wrestle?
You do, actually, in the third date.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's hear about the third date. And but do you got S? You got S's on both dates?
Yes, I did.
Well, how nice.
Well, actually, you do kiss at the end of the second date.
Oh, okay. That sounds right. That makes sense. Yeah.
The third date, he's been stressed because it's like nearing the end of the semester. So you buy him wrestling tickets and you go and see wrestling. You go home, you're having a bunch of laughs, and then you ask him to show you some wrestling moves, and then he pins you to the ground 3 times in a row super easily. And then you like steal a kiss at the end of the third one and then make out, I think. They don't specifically say it. And at some point, his son says, "Thank you for making my dad happy." And yeah, I think.
And then what happened at the end? At the very end, she gets accepted to art school, Amanda.
Yes. And you hold a big party.
A surprise party where all 7 of them show up on the screen at once when they go out to the backyard.
Hugo's in his wrestling shirt, though, instead of the rest of the people who are just in their normal looks.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he says, like, something sappy. You hold hands and stare into the sunset together.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
And then I notice there's a picture after the credits.
Yes. In the picture, he is laying on the bed suggestively and his button-up shirt is open.
Nice.
Yes.
So it implies there will be sex.
Yes. If there wasn't already.
Right. It sort of keeps it ambiguous, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that sounds like a success.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mine was not.
Oh.
Because I'm me. And so even in a damn video game, I can't get dating or sex or anything right. I will try to keep it short, but I was very disappointed. So I actually spent like half an hour just on the character creation screen.
Yes, I know.
Because, yeah, when you came out, I think I had already, when you came out and...
You had created the character, but we're naming it.
Yeah. Yes, I named my character...
Chet.
Oh, yeah, Chet. I can remember Chet Von Drake.
Thank you.
I wanted to name him Chet Von Furstenberg, but there weren't enough spaces.
Very sad.
But when I was making the character, I actually... It just hit me all of a sudden that I could... create a fantasy version of myself. I started to go down your route and just try to make it like a me, you know, from the Wii or a Bitmoji or something where you try to make it as much like you as possible. And I was like, wait, what am I doing? This is a video game. I can be a fantasy. And so I actually got really emotional all of a sudden. And I started, it was so weird. I felt like such a noob, but I was like, I can, because, you know, like I told you, I've been so down about so many things lately, one of which is, you know, my self-image, you know, my place in the gay culture in the world, you know, my dating prospects, blah, 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 all of these things that are just, like, constantly swirling around up here. And as I was creating this idealized version of myself, I got really emotional about it, actually. This, like, fit and trim person.
Wow.
With, like, really cool pink hair.
Yeah, I didn't know pink hair was an option. Otherwise, I would have made my hair pink.
I mean, just having hair, period, was, like, a big moment for me. And, you know, I gave him all, like, ton of piercings, but I made him, like, hot.
Yeah.
And he had kind of, like, a Comme des Garçons-style shirt on.
It has, like, one of those... pockets on the front, and it had a little heart on it.
Yeah, I think they were going for a Comme des Garçons type look. And so it was weird. Like, so I got really into it for this, like, half hour I was creating it, you know?
Wow.
And I And I started to get it. I started to get the appeal of video games again. You know, I used to be.
Yes.
I was an OG, like in the 80s. We had the NES, the Super Nintendo. We had all of the Nintendo. Actually, we have had all of the Nintendo systems. Mm-hmm. You know, I stopped being interested about N64, GameCube era.
Whenever I tell him tips and when we're playing like party games or whatever, you always yell about how you play. You are the OG.
I yell.
You have yelled during Mario Party.
Oh my lord. You love making me sound like a monster. No, I do really obnoxiously remind you that I was playing video games long before you were even born. But then just like most things in my life that I was interested in, something around the time that I matured sexually, I guess, as an adolescent, and just was, you know, forced into the closet, basically. I just lost interest around high school, and I haven't really. We had a GameCube, your mom and I.
Yes,
like
broke.
I was still sort of into. Well, that was actually our second one. The first one had been stolen when our house got broken into.
Wait, really?
You knew that? I've told you this story.
No,
it was the very first basement apartment that we lived in, and we always were really careful. For some reason, we must have left the door unlocked that day. And the house, the door to the house that we lived, whose basement it was, the woman who lived upstairs, that door was always left unlocked too. So they actually got a lot of stuff from her. But from our, we were like barely married. We had no money. All that we had basically worth stealing was the GameCube and games.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So the one that you played as an infant was our second one. But even then, I was really like, I liked Smash Brothers, but I've never really.
Nice.
And I enjoy playing the vintage games every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a gamer anymore. And I don't.
Much loath as I am to admit.
Yeah, sometimes you and I have played. You know, we played Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah,
Way fun. We played a bunch of Zelda games together all the way through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mario Galaxy. Like,
yes.
I've had great time. All of the fun times I've had gaming have been with you.
Oh.
And Mario games, usually.
Yes.
Pretty much like, Mario or Zelda games.
Yeah.
That's about all I can tolerate.
No, and I mean, you don't really have to tolerate anymore to get, like, the gaming experience. Those are, like, perfect games to me, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unbeatable.
Yeah.
Then, but I felt a bit of that, the old rush that I used to have, you know, as playing NES as an 8-year-old. You know, just that that excitement, that fantasy being drawn in. And I was like, okay, this is fine. This is fun. And then I played for a bit, and then I dated Craig, who was the Asian American, the old roommate from college, because he's hot.
Yeah.
He's really, actually, and his profile was, this is not a person I would want anything to do with in real life, because this is what his profile said about him. His dad book profile.
Yes.
Dad of three, business entrepreneur, and fitness enthusiast. Juggling work, family, and fitness is a tough gig, but someone's got to do it.
I know. He sounds so hokey.
The worst. On a Friday night, you are most likely to get one last good cardio session in. If you had one thing to take with you onto a desert island, what would it be? A box of energy bars. What are your turn-ons? A sub-6-minute mile. What did you want to be when you grew up? Beer pong world champion. Like, so they're like laying it on thick with this guy.
Yeah, seriously.
What's your favorite movie genre? Buddy cop movies forever. What's your ideal date? Scaling a huge dangerous mountain for fun. What do you never leave home without? An extra tube of energy gel. Which, I don't know, is that, I think that's the thing people eat?
I've never heard of energy gel.
I think you just like squeeze gel in your mouth and get energy. I don't know.
Weird.
I spend a lot of time thinking about, my mild time used to be so good. What happened? Have I peaked? So this is not a person I would want anything to do with in real life. Really awful, really obnoxious.
I ran away from him as soon as we had our first date.
But he's hot.
Yes, he was.
And so I was like, while I'm living the fantasy, why not just assume that I could get this really hot gym bunny, you know?
I would have expected that you would have continued along with Robert.
Yeah, I'm going to keep playing, I think. I want to try Robert. He was interesting. I did go on one date with Robert, and it was like the first date, which is not really a date.
No.
But because Mary was there.
Yeah, at the
and
beginning.
She was like being drunk and weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's weird and a little like dangerous and scary, and I like that.
But he is also into Italian neorealism.
Oh, really? Films.
Yeah.
That's
in his dad book profile.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it even more.
Well, because I remember you chuckled when he referenced like some film at one of the...
Oh, that's right. Film references, yeah.
But you also said that you were never dating him again because he talked during a movie.
Right. Well, actually, when we went to the movie theater, I was like, speaking of the cinemas from the Gay Trivia Quiz book, I was like, oh, what's going on here? But then I realized it's not that kind of game.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but anyway, I was like, well, I'm living the fantasy. Why not just bag the hot Asian gym bunny? But this, I realized that this also gives, I don't know if Hugo had like an arc. I assume he did, but Craig's arc, you know, it says that he's juggling all these things. And what you do is you sort of help him learn to let go and relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So on the first date, so you go to the, it's a Little League game, mm-hmm. is it? And right. Cause you did the first dates for yes. all of them. Right. Okay. And then it's just, he's like a team. He's just like a dad. He's not a coach, is he?
No, he's a coach.
Oh, he's a coach. And so you go through the game, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Amanda comes with you. And after, oh, right. And then you go to the pizza place afterward.
Yes.
And all the moms are hitting on him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was funny because they all get named in the text box.
Yeah. And you try to like fake hit on one of the moms to distract, to send a smoker. That was one of the options.
Oh.
And she's like, leave me alone. She doesn't buy it. So then eventually they get distracted. The kids go off for a sleepover or something.
I fucked up. I didn't distract them at all. Yeah. I know there was a right option to get them away from Craig, but I just didn't.
Yeah. So then, but then you go back to the field and you play catch and he's got the baby, which I was thinking is not very safe.
No.
You got a baby strapped to you and you're throwing a softball back and forth?
I think he just trusts in his athletic abilities enough to catch it out of the air before it hits her.
That's true. But, and so that, and actually then you get hit with the ball because you get distracted and he comes over and you tell him to kiss you on the forehead and he does. And I'm not going to lie, I was like getting a little horny.
I got a little bit horny with Hugo.
Did you?
Teebs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I feel a little less pathetic then. Because I'm just like, God. Like, well, I get the appeal of the fantasy, and I understand why video games can be appealing for people who have trouble out, like literally, like there are people who have, you know, mental illnesses, agoraphobia, things like that. Video games provide an important outlet for them, you know, an important emotional release and experience. And especially with pandemic and not being able to go out as much, that's also really important. So I get that appeal. I would rather be having real sex.
Yeah, same.
But if I can't, that's fine. I will take this daddy fantasy. And so then he kisses you and then that's it.
Yeah.
But not, it's like a peck on the forehead. So the second date is you do a, he calls it brunch, as in run. You run and then go to brunch. So you do this run and he like.
Wait, but do you get tricked into thinking it's just brunch?
No, he explains it.
Oh, okay.
Boring. But he does all this like punishing running and stuff. And you're like, luckily I've been training every morning, so this isn't as hard as I thought it would be. But then his daughter loses her stuff, capybara. Which are having a moment right now. Is it just me or a capybara the cute animal of the moment?
Capybaras are a meme.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because coconut dog is what people call it.
Which is funny because your mother, when she was a missionary in Venezuela, she was disgusted by them. Like people would eat them and stuff, and they would be everywhere.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway, she. Oh, so the daughter. What's the daughter's name? Do you remember? Didn't you say?
Well, Bjorn. It's River.
River. No, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Is it? Anyway, so she loses her stuffed capybara, and you go all over the park looking for it. You run into some of the dads there. You like play good cop, bad cop. It's like playful. You interrogate them. I don't know if I did it wrong, but. If it can be found, but we didn't find it, she just got pissed and he left. So we never even got to go to brunch.
What?
Yes. Oh, so I should point out that I got, you claim to get S pluses or S's on all of them.
Well, I got on the Hugo dates, I don't know if it's possible to get S plus.
You got mostly dates. S's, right?
I got S's on the Hugo dates, yes.
Okay. So I got, that first date I went on with Robert, I got a C. Then my first date with Craig, I got an S. This date, I got a C minus, I think.
Oh.
So I must have done something wrong. We didn't find the animal soon enough or something. So I was like, oh, fuck. Great. And I don't know if that affected what came after. But then on the third date, which is like the hot and heavy date, we went camping. So it was like a camping weekend. As you get there, you know, you go, and then you're walking, you know, you're hiking, and Craig starts to get nervous because he's never left his kids for this long. And so you talk him down. You tell him it's okay. It's just... this is part of being a parent, is just trusting that they're in good hands, blah, blah, blah. And eventually, as it comes out, as you're setting up camp and stuff, that he, you start to psychoanalyze him, basically, that he spends all his time living the perfect life, being a good example for his kids, being fit, running a fitness business. They're preparing their own line of athleisure wear. Because of course they are. And you're like, bro, you got to take time for yourself. Oh yeah, you call each other bro.
Yeah.
And do it all the time. And there's all, you're always talking about college memories and yes. how much he's changed since college.
And about how you haven't changed.
Yeah, which is weird. And then, so after you set up camp, you go swimming. And of course, like, you strip down. And then he came out without a shirt on.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
hold just, on. This is the next person I'm dating.
I should have taken a picture
what?
Of it. Yeah, and just in his boxers. And even though it's just, like, drawn, you know, I was like, whew, mama, because I'm so...
As you put.
Because I am not having sex.
We can be pathetic together.
No, yeah, that doesn't make me feel better, strangely. Besides, you're apparently getting more action just by leaning on on your friends at school. So you go, you swim, and you jump around and, like, wrestle in the water and stuff. And, of course, you end up and you go back. There's conveniently, there's only one sleeping bag. Like, you forgot yours or something. So
you forgot yours.
Yeah. But you're, and he's still shirtless the whole time in the nice. Camping scene. But then it, like, you go in the tent and it gets dark. And then basically you broke back. It's a broke back scenario. Again, it doesn't say that you have sex, but you, like, nudge closer to him because you're cold. And then he rolls over and he's like, I have feelings for you. And you're like, so do I. And then I think it implies that they kiss, but then it fades to the next morning.
Oh,
and of course, I'm over here like, whew, like throwing bottles of water on my face to calm down. So pathetic.
You look like the pilot at the end of Airplane when they just dump a bucket of water.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, this is great. All right, you know, it's going to work out with Craig. We're going to be happy ever after. We go to we have the graduation party, the surprise party in the backyard, you know, the other dudes are there. You're like, and you're saying stuff, you know, you sort of have your last moment with all of them. And then you and Craig go over and sit on the bench, you know, with the romantic corner. And you're like, so what comes next? And he's like, we should just be friends, bro. I'm not ready for this. And that's it. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And then the credits started rolling. And I was like, even in a fucking video game, I can't make it. I can't do it right. I was shooketh. Speaking of sus, cringe, totally non-poggers. And so at the end, did I get a sexy picture of my man with his shirt unbuttoned? No, I got a framed picture of me and my daughter from my daughter. Signed, thanks for being a great dad.
That's wee. Okay, no, that's probably a good thing. That means you probably maintained a good relationship with Amanda at least. Because I didn't get that.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if you can screw up your relationship with her.
I definitely did because the game, it's really easy to switch to the next, like, text box and then press
That sometimes when I was just, like,
blazing through. I did it so many times, and so many times I got completely effed over by it, and it pissed me off.
I did do well. There's this whole, she's, like, moody for a couple days, and it turns out she's, like, lost all her friends, and, like, her friends were dating. I did do well in that. I got a lot of hearts from her.
Yeah,
no eggplants, strangely.
I accidentally pressed the wrong option on one, and because of that, and I was like, I am about to put this game down.
So this is what I got, a picture, a framed picture that says, you're the best, Pops. Which is like, fine, whatever.
Hey, it's relatable to you right now. Maintaining a good relationship with your
So there are a offspring. Lot of... That leads me to the next part. Which there is a lot that we could talk about because this also brought up part of why this game is so interesting is it brought up so much. It did. You're right. It applied specifically to my situation.
Yes.
Right now, a recently divorced dad trying to make it work. Not really trying to make dating and parenting work because I'm not dating and it's not by choice. Trust me. I would like to be dating. I would like to be having a lot of sex, but really I'm going to continue to blame the pandemic because I can. But if anyone listens to Adventures in Gaby Sitting, you know, that's not totally true. It's not totally the pandemic's fault. But yeah, it is very much, and this is my main problem with the game, is that it keeps going back. It's so heavy on the dad bits, as in the parenting and all of that. It just feels like it's trying so hard to normalize the parenting portion of it, the family, the heteronormative or even homonormative aspects of it, that it feels really assimilationist to me. On the one hand, that's good. On the one hand, it shows progress, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe that it's because they're trying to keep this, you know, it's just it's rated T, so it's not, you know, the political goals of this game are obviously not radical or anything.
It's to appeal to the gay market for money.
Yeah, it could be. But but you know, there are people, you know, a lot of women, a lot of straight women are into, you know, most gay erotic fiction is written by straight cis women. Mm. So there's, you know, it's not just for gays. It's not just for the gays. And for me, just personally, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's not that I need this thing to line up with my politics or anything. It's just that it kept, whenever it was treading that line between the more radical or sexual parts, aspects of queerness, or the more comforting home related aspects, it seemed to always favor that. And then but then at the same time, it's also weird that my good relationship with my daughter was like the consolation prize. So because for me, the best parts of the game, and this could be I was thinking about this too, perhaps it's because my queer fantasy life has been so wrapped up in porn for so long. That those were the parts of the game that interested me. Sometimes during the storytelling bits, I was just clicking through. I was like, let's get to the good stuff. I just wasn't interested in all the other stuff.
Got it.
So, and it also brought, you know, stirred up a lot of feelings about my own feelings about being a parent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope this doesn't come as a shock to you, but sometimes it sucks. I know.
I'm a bad son?
No, if you were, I don't know what I would have done. Oh. If you had been bad, I don't know what I would have done. Because you're basically perfect. And look how horrible I can still be sometimes.
Aw, shucks.
And there have been times when I have not liked being a parent. Mm-hmm. Often. There still are. Mm-hmm. I don't mean mm-hmm. to make that sound like a past thing. That's that's a present thing, mm-hmm. too. And
I was cracking while saying,
mm-hmm. Aw, more ball drops. Son, it's about time to get you your first ball spreader.
Millimeter by my first cock ring.
Mine's right outside
that
door.
That's why I lowered my voice.
Not enough.
Oh, no.
So, I know this. I'm sort of word vomiting here, but this has stirred up a lot in me. And a lot of times, my feelings about being a parent were wrapped up intimately in my shame and negative feelings about being in the closet. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, they were twin phenomena.
Yeah.
So in some ways, being a parent contributed to my own oppression. You know, having you kept me in the closet longer.
Cool. Thanks, Dad.
I know. Which I say only...
I'm just going to hug my monkey and be quiet in the corner.
Which I hope doesn't make you feel bad, because I hope you realize that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the fact that you are still the best thing I've ever done, and that
second to this podcast.
Well, maybe after a few more episodes. Yeah. It's still finding its feet.
Yeah. No, specifically Document and Son is the best thing you've ever done.
Sure. Yeah. If you want to tell yourself that, but for real, like
if you
this,
don't tell yourself that.
I'm trying to be, sorry. I'm trying to be I'm vulnerable sorry. And honest here.
You can vent now.
No, it's not venting. I'm trying to be honest. Why don't you just shut up?
Okay, I'll be quiet.
I'm keeping that in.
No, it's not humanizing.
So that while it's has nothing to do with you per se, you know, it's in no way a reflection of you. Those feelings are still caught up in my feelings about you as a person, because you are that kid, you know? And I think that probably has contributed to some of the ways in which I have been mean to you, in which I have taken my own issues out on you, in which when I have been less than whatever it is you need me to be.
Yeah.
You know? So all of that has been stirred up by this silly little candy-colored game.
It is very bright.
So, respond.
Conversations like this make me think about whenever people say video games can't be art. Because, like, art makes you feel, you know? And I didn't have such a reaction to it as you, clearly. And I think that it's kind of amazing how our experiences were so different. I'm a gamer, but apparently that led me to less emotional trauma. Well, okay, let me start over.
What do you mean? What do you mean by it?
Because, like, I don't know. I'll just start over. I think it's amazing that I'm going to be honest, kind of poorly made game.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. You managed to pull such reaction out of you. And maybe that's just because it's like, you're basically playing yourself in terms of just the experience that your character in game has had and you.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So did you see yourself reflected in the daughter character at all?
Yeah, a little bit, actually. Just a little bit.
Well, what about the idea of losing a parent? You haven't lost a parent, but your parent is no longer as present in your life as she was before, and there is the divorce and the separation and all of that.
That's true.
That didn't occur to you while you were playing?
Maybe subconsciously.
Okay, interesting. No, it's not that it has to, but yeah. It's just...
I arted wrong.
You arted wrong, yes, because there's definitely a right and a wrong way to interact with art.
According to the little art gallery scene, there is.
Oh, I clicked through that. I just wanted to get to to the horny stuff, yeah.
There's some funny jokes about
it. I kind of could tell that there was, but I wanted to get to the...
I'm going to be honest, I laughed out loud a lot.
Did you?
To this game, yeah.
You didn't experience it as intensely as I.
No.
But that doesn't matter. You know, there's nothing saying you have to. But how does it make you feel when I tell you that, say these things about how I felt and feel sometimes about being a parent and its connection to my oppression?
I mean, it still makes me... I mean, it makes me sad, you know, because, like, you're sad, and indirectly, I am the cause of that, and, like, that's always been, like, a big mental health issue. Like, you remember, like, earlier in the year, we were talking about, like, where I find my value of a person, in myself, and I find it in how you and Mom think about me and value me. So, and I still haven't fully broken apart from that, I think.
It takes a while. I don't know if you ever will, but you at least know that it doesn't need to be, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But often I get really sad and depressed when I think that you are, 'cause, like, I would think sometimes that you are mean to me because you don't like me because I did something wrong. And that isn't a good feeling to have. So, like, I mean, in the conscious level, in the conscious sphere, I understand that it's not me. It's my birth that's, like, that caused all of those emotions, but it is still hard to not hear that it's me, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. And I know that will get better, definitely. But I also want to make it clear that it's not your birth that caused these problems, these negative emotions. It is the oppression that pushed me into the closet. It is the religion that kept me trapped for the first 30 decades of my life mentally, you know?
Yeah.
It is all of those things. And all of those things that in the world, in the community, in society, that have caused me to think that I'm in any way lesser than because I'm gay, that have caused those feelings, not your birth. And if I hadn't gotten with your mom, then you wouldn't be here. So that was always a mitigating factor in my, you know, in these feelings, these negative feelings that I would have. At least you know, at least it produced you.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will make you, once that really sinks in, will help you realize how fucking special you are.
Checks.
No, I mean it.
I do, yeah, I do too.
You mean shucks, genuinely? I do mean shucks, genuinely. It was a genuine shucks.
It was a genuine shucks.
Well, you are special, and you are in no way a problem, or an inconvenience, or an impediment. Got it?
Got it.
You are my dream kitty.
That is a very different game.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to workshop that.
New cast of characters, same goal.
All right, well, on that, I think that's quite a good place to end.
Yeah.
And we will just say, happy fucking New Year.
Yeah, I agree.
Dream Daddy.
You found
it! I found it!
You found it! Good job!
Just in time.
Good job.
All right, well, we will see you next time. Have a great New Year.
Bye, listeners.
Cock ring.
Tee hee, water sports. Golden showers.
Yellow rain.
Bye.
This has been another House of Barbarism podcast, written, recorded, edited, and produced by Document of Barbarism, your friendly neighborhood mountain man fairy princess. Remember, there is no document of civilization which is not, at the same time, a Documenta Barbarism. Mwah.